Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Perry Pear, and I am in the studio now with the Medlars.
Ooh, this is so exciting!
Mr. Quince.
Thank you.
Bringing you this special edition of Cider Chat. Let the listeners know there in Ciderville what episode it is.
This is episode number 84.
Perry, you're supposed to tell people what this podcast is about.
Right. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. Typically, the person speaking would be Rhea. She is the producer and the cider MC of this weekly podcast, which is really quite amazing when you think about the fact that this podcast goes out weekly, where she speaks with makers, people who are called enthusiasts. I just call them cider drinkers and Perry drinkers, of course. That goes without saying. And people who work and help the cider and Perry people around the world. This week, we are broadcasting the piece on sensory analysis, or what you might call the elements of cider, with Charles McGonigal, who makes a Perry himself. This is recorded and part of last week's chat, episode number 83. And if you recall, and you are a regular listener of Cider Chat, you would know, indeed, that Rhea promised this special edition just for you.
Hey, Palms, I got to get that recording equipment back. I got to get episode 84 out to Ciderville. You know, I'm slamming it this week, and I barely have any time. My family's coming in tomorrow, and there's just so much craziness going on, but I really want to get this episode out to everybody. So can you bring it up for me? I just want to kind of like go through a couple things with you on the checklist, too. Can you help me out with that, Mr. Quince?
Sure, Rhea. I'd be more than happy to.
Yeah. I got to go through this list. I definitely need to mention that ticket giveaway is going to be happening all through the month of June. People just need to sign up for the eCider newsletter, and they'll be thrown into the pool, and there's a good chance to win two pairs of tickets. Well, at least one person will get one pair of ticket, right? And that's for the first pour, and that's happening out in Colorado, right, on August 26th. That's put on by the Gypsy Circus Cider Company down in Tennessee. We had Stephanie and Aaron on. They're just amazing people. I'm super stoked to talk to Ciderville about that again. I mean, all they have to do is just sign up for the eCider newsletter. That's a great deal. And we're probably going to have a link to that in the show notes, right?
Uh-huh. I mean, yes, we are.
Oh, let me see. There's like so much to like tell Ciderville, and there's like so little time. I definitely need to mention that this is the last episode until the first week of July, because as you guys know, there's going to be a wedding this weekend, and then I'm off for 2 weeks having my honeymoon. Yeah, wow. Got so much to pack. I got to make sure that I bring some of those bottles of cider that I got from Forgotten Cider, and that nice bottle from Castle Hill. Jeff gave me that bottle while I was at CiderCon. That was really sweet. Oh my goodness, I digress. And, you know, this week we have Charles McGonigal on again, because last week's episode was, I don't know, that was like over an hour long. He was talking about Perry, which was fantastic for you, Perry Pear. And of course, he was talking about Apple True, which is a cidery out in Wisconsin. And then we went into that whole other section while I was recording this at CiderCon, where he was talking about the workshop that he's taught for like two times in a row at CiderCon on sensory analysis, and I really wanted him to speak on that, and he did. And I know there's a lot of info on that for anybody who is trying to help people learn how to judge and getting their palate and their senses all aware. And that's what we're going to be airing this week, and I want to get it out. And I got to do that like really super quick. Otherwise, I am running out of time. Oh, okay. All right. I'm gonna head back to the house and get myself ready. And I'll see you in a little bit if you can bring that recording stuff up there. And we'll get this out because there's so much to do. And all right. I'll see you guys later. Love you. And bring it up there. Okay, great. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, my.
She doesn't know that we're doing her episode for her, does she?
No, she doesn't. So let's get this episode done, completed, and edited out to Ciderville while we have this chance. Perry, before we go into the elements of cider with Charles McGonigal, let's read that email that came in from Jim.
Right. Okay. This email came in from Jim. He writes, "My wife and my trips to Ciderville through your chats are often our happy place during commutes to jobs and errands. And did you hear on Cider Chat? Is generally how our best non-kid, non-job, non-crisis of the day conversations get started. You've not only made the cider community feel like it's right in our own backyard, but you've made the entire world of cider, and I hope Perry too, Jim, so accessible through your chats that we feel like starting our own orchard-based cidery is something we can actually do. Very good for you, Jim. We hope that when you plant your orchard, or maybe you have it planted, that you are including some Perry pears." He goes on to write that he and his wife just finished the episode number 72 on the lost apples of the Quabbin, and the episode with Shay Comfort, aka the Yeast Whisperer, spoke to them both on their semi-obsession with wild yeast. I completely understand that. I also enjoy wild yeast. There's quite a few out in the orchard where I live. And it seems that you wonder what they can do, those wild yeast. They can be really a good time at a party. I'll tell you that right now, Jim. You should invite them over and have a party. He writes this last piece, which I think is very poignant for everyone out there in Ciderville. He writes that, "So well done on both chats that we got to asking, why don't we just commit and support Rhea? Our only surprise in the end is why it took us so long." Thank you very much, Jim, for becoming part of the Cider Chat Patreon page and becoming a full bona fide patron. You will be getting a copy of the transcript that Charles McGonigal, who is on this week's chat, speaking on Perry, that was transcribed and available shortly via Patreon. Thanks again, and for anyone out there in Ciderville who also wants to become a patron, join today via the Cider Chat Patreon page. And I'm sure, like Jim, you will be asking, why didn't you do it sooner? Thank you. And now we'll be heading up to this main chat with Charles McGonigal of Apple True as he chats with Rhea on sensory analysis, or what he likes to call the elements of cider. Time to grab a glass and join this chat.
Talk a little bit about the sensory analysis workshop. You're doing that this year in CiderCon.
I am.
I think you did it 2 years ago, or did you do it last year too?
I did not do it in Portland. Okay. It would be very hard to take on the road. I will see if they ask me to. I have done it several, like the three prior CiderCons that were in Chicago, and I also do it before, as part of the judge training before GlintCap. The Great Lakes International Cider and Perry competition, and it arose from the pre competition judge training that we have done since about year three. Nice. Maybe two.
Great.
Out of 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I call it the elements of cider, and what it is supposed to be is a vocabulary check. Right? And it is not, it is the basics of cider from sensory and chemical perspective. It is the major molecules. It is not meant to bolster the vocabulary of all the little subtleties of talking about lilac and rose, and well, rose maybe, given phenethyl acetate. I know people in the cider world who are very good at discerning fine elements and very good at hooking their vocabularies to their taste buds, mm-hmm, and letting, mm-hmm, rip. Lovely. This is meant to be a more baseline. I take one base cider, and everybody gets some. That's our reference.
Mm-hmm.
And then the current seminar this year will be 19 things, where served in pairs, so 10 flights. And in each of the samples, I change one thing.
Okay.
Just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I can. Every now and then I can't.
What are you changing there?
The first three flights are taste and texture. And for the purposes of the seminar, I ask people to define taste very narrowly. If it's a taste, you have taste buds for it. Which means in cider, we're only talking about acidity, acid, sweet, and bitter. Because it would be very rare to have either salt or umami,
mm-hmm,
that we have known taste,
mm-hmm,
buds for,
mm-hmm,
in a cider.
Mm-hmm.
So when texture, we add carbonation and tannins, astringency, specifically astringency. Astringency is a texture. Bitter is a taste. The next six flights are aromas. And we go through fresh fruit aromas. We go through fermentation esters. We get into things with more oxygen in them that derive mostly, but not always. It's always mostly, but not always when it comes to cider. They're always, you can always point to exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly things that you pick up during storage and maturation. We talk about how they are. And it's ethyl acetate, acetic acid, acetaldehyde, diacetyl, butyric acid, the volatile phenols, sulfide,
mm-hmm,
and mouse. My main concern is in looking at quality in the cider industry is an aroma profile called mouse. So we go through them one by one in pair, or sorry, 10 flights in pairs. Both, each pair reflect each other some way, right? They go together. For instance, I do sugar and alcohol, and I add a certain amount of alcohol and the sugar that makes the same centipoise viscosity change as the alcohol addition did. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a group of people, we're in 10 rounds, we'll be in 10 rounds here in a group, and I call on people, I pick on people out in the audience, I anybody who volunteers, and I sometimes I put people on the spot, and we talk about what you change. Because when you change one thing, people will perceive several changes. Some of them, everybody will notice that when you change alcohol, you change warmth, you change viscosity. I define body as viscosity, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Astringency is a mm-hmm. different kind of mm-hmm. body. So to me, saying that tannins give body is, I can't make that statement. Tannins actually cut body. Mm-hmm. Because it interferes with the surface tension, right? And it interferes with the viscosity. So,
but that's like one of the major descriptors that people use with a tannin, that it gives it more fuller
mouth feel. It's astringency, right?
But they'll also attribute that to body too, though.
Body meaning viscosity and astringency meaning right. friction, okay. a sense of friction.
Yes.
They're both parts of mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. So yes, for the purposes of the discussion,
sure.
I ask people to take my narrow definitions just for that moment. And you know what you'll find out is that the people, I adjust alcohol and people have, for some people it boosts aroma, for some people it suppresses aroma, for some people it boosts sweetness, for some people it doesn't boost sweetness. For everybody, it should boost bitterness. Right? The scientific papers tell us that everybody tastes alcohol as bitter, and some people taste alcohol as sweet. Right? Genetically.
Interesting.
When you're in a group, you know, you might think when you're a cider geek, having cider, or you're a cider producer and you're with your staff and you have a trained tasting mm-hmm. thing, you rapidly get out into the market and your consumers tell you might have different impressions of what you do. Mm-hmm. Right? And this seminar is a chance to show not only the basic vocabulary of here are the fundamental things that are most common in mm-hmm. cider, mm-hmm. here's what the molecule, and you get to sample the molecule, so you'll get your own perception of it, so maybe you'll recognize it in the future, and you can talk with one vocabulary about it, which is my goal. But the secondary goal is to show the interactions that when you change one thing, multiple things are perceived, and also that different people will have different perceptions.
Neat.
So.
Yeah, great. I know it's a very popular workshop for people to attend because they're really having to think much more deeply into what they're tasting and understand some of the changes there. So you have the 10 flights, and you're doing that also at Glint Camp the same way when you're...
Yes. In Glint Camp, we usually go on to a second section with another set of flights that demonstrate... Yeah, I call it the first section is the elements of cider, mm-hmm. one element at a time. Mm-hmm. Then the second section would be Gestalt cider, where we show off world styles. And we pick examples.
Okay. Right.
Right, to show everything changing at once.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was at a judging recently, and they were using the standard, from the beer judges. And I know that you contributed to the mm-hmm. standard for ciders there, too. And I noted that there was nothing there for sidra, any from the Basque or the Asturian ciders at all.
Glint has had to... We've been working on style definitions faster than the BJCP can adopt them, mm-hmm. is what we have found.
Yeah.
The BJC people might have a little different perspective on that, but, you know, what do they say? It all depends on one's perspective.
Absolutely.
A great many things in this life depends on one's perspective. So, we had to add fortified, you know, pommel. We had to make extensions very early on. Mm-hmm. So we've always had a slightly different style guide. My current effort behind the scenes at Glint is to make the styles based on objective organoleptic characters. Tannins, sweetness, volatile acidity, phenols, right. And take out the regional names. Mm-hmm. And this can be complicated because the English might be very proud of their cider and might not, we have English entries, they might not appreciate getting an award in a style other than an English style of cider. But on the other hand, we're living in a world that's trying to, especially in Europe, where people try to protect their geographic identity.
Absolutely.
And if a cider was over 7% in this country, you couldn't put English on the label. If it wasn't from England, the TTB would stop you. I know, I've tried. I can't say that I use English cider apples. I can't use of English origin or historically used by English cider makers. Mm-hmm. I can't use the word English at all. Mm. So if I can't put it on the label, and it's only for over 7%, it's one of those quirks of the law, mm-hmm. right? If I can't put it on the label as the style, English style, then why should I have an award that says English style? I can't really market that, at least not on the bottle. Isn't there a clash there? Yeah. Isn't there... Am I usurping their Englishness by calling my really American Midwest, glacial till and clay, hot summer Dabinets and Kingston Blacks and Major, mm-hmm. well, not Major. Major had too much sunscald and we cut it down. I really like the French bittersweets. So Duovique and Frequent Tardive. I love the softer tannin profile of those. Mm-hmm. Domaine du Calvados. Mm-hmm. It's not French cider.
No.
Right. So I've gotten uncomfortable with not wanting to usurp their identity and our style names. Mm-hmm. So for years we've been trying to, behind the scenes, we've been trying, Gary Audi and Dick Dunn and Eric mm-hmm. West and a few others have been talking about, can we come up with a dichotomous key to cider, as it were, that lays out, that helps us divide cider for the purpose of flighting, right? Because we want to flight, we don't want clashing ciders to be flighted together. That's our first, for competition, that's our first goal. Don't put clashing ciders together. So first, can we lay out a system of categorizing, sorting? Let's put mm-hmm. ciders into their houses, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And some of those, that are based on objective, properties of the cider, we don't have to know where it came from. Mm-hmm. We don't have to know the cellar, don't necessarily have to know the cider technique, but we don't have to know where it came from. You should be able to kind of do it blind, mm-hmm. right? Those are very broad categories.
Absolutely.
I'll give you that. Yeah. And the second thing is, what do we call them? Because in a competition, your consumer, your customers, your audience, are the people who read, I got this medal. It's not actually the winery. It's not the cider maker. Right. It's one step past that, because they're going to show this to their consumers to say, hey, I got this medal, and these people think that we did a good job. So we need to pick some names that are meaningful, that will be, but not necessarily, it's not just for the cider makers. Mm-hmm. We know that there's a broader audience.
Even Glencap, though, is like, divided into like different styles.
We are. Our first need is to not flight clashing ciders mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. So we started with the BJCP, where the base division is, it's just fruit folks to specialty, and that's standard cider. And specialty cider is, it's cider, and we insist, in Glint, we insist that it remembers it was, if it was cider, if it's a fruit cider, but you've done something to it. It's cider, but you did something to it. Mm-hmm. You added fruit, you added hops, you added spices. Yeah. We have different subcategories for those.
Isn't that considered like New World cider?
A New World cider is one of the standard ciders. It's just fruit, folks. Mm-hmm. And it's to acknowledge that most American cider is not made from the tannic fruit. It's the 300 ppm tannin, not the 3000 ppm mm-hmm. tannins. Spanish cider is all over the place. It's distinguished by something else. It's not tannins.
Right.
And we didn't want to call it American. We didn't want to say it was American cider. All of these geographic names not only belong to someone else, but they also mm-hmm. obscure the fact that there's even Eric Bordelais, as you mentioned, goes from Argelet to Dew in a huge range stylistically. I'm to the point where I can no longer tell English from French ciders. To me, it's one continuum, and I haven't figured out how to break it back out again. People around me say they can do it. I trust them, but to me, it's not. It's Anglo-Franco or continental cider, and English is one end of a spectrum, and French is the other end of the spectrum. But cider makers in France do 80% of that spectrum, that diversity, and English cider makers in England do 80% of that diversity, and it's only the stereotypes at the end that are easy to identify. The middle is very hard to sort out, especially in a blind tasting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe if there's a real difference, somebody will explain it to me in terms I can understand as a chemist, and I'll say, oh, thank you. So New World, we didn't want American, we went to New World.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to Modern.
Modern. What do you think about that? Your face is kind of showing Modern, when it doesn't seem like you're so convinced to use Modern.
No, I'm good with Modern.
You're good with Modern?
I am good with Modern. I think it's fairly accurate.
Because it's what's happening now, right now.
But it's not Metro. Right. It's not like Windows that went from Metro to Modern.
Right. Yeah,
Modern's good. I'm good with it.
Great. Well, I think anyone that gets an opportunity to try that, whether they're going to judge at Glencap or they're part of the cider industry and attending CiderCon, the sensory analysis workshop with Charles McGonigal would be a really good treat for anyone to really booster that up. And certainly if their teams are coming too, that would be a great idea to also attend. Charles, I want to thank you for chatting with us today, sharing your knowledge on the Apple True that you have here. You have the ciders, the Poiré or the Perry, and your distilled products, and the work that you do in terms of helping people understand cider at the greater world level, and for sharing your tips on making Perry today. I really, really appreciate your time.
Well, I'm happy to chat about cider.
To thank Charles and take us out of this episode number 84 of Cider Chat.
Right. Thank you, Charles.
Make sure to remind Ciderville that we won't be back until July.
Right. This podcast will return on the first week of July with episode number 85. In the meanwhile, you have plenty of time now to subscribe to the eCider newsletter and be entered into win for a pair of tickets to the Cider Circus at Copper Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado this August. I really wish I could go to that. I suspect that's going to be a lot of fun. It's a circus, and like I was telling Jim, there will likely be wild yeast there, and they are always a lot of fun, quite a bit of fun. an absolute blast of a time.
Let's roll out of here, Perry. We gotta let Rhea know that she's all set, and now she can focus on the big weekend ahead for her.
Well, from all of us here at the Cider House, we wish you a good week, and we look forward to seeing you in Ciderville next time. That's a wrap. That's a cut. I think we're done. We're ready to have some Perry. Anybody got any Perry? Bring the Perry. Let the wild yeast in. It's time to have a little bit of fun. We got a big wedding ahead. It's time to party. Let's go. Gonna have a lot of fun.
Yeehaw!